we will call this meeting together, Alway Public Works Committee meeting, Wednesday, May 15th at 5:30 p.m. I'll entertain a motion to adopt and or modify the agenda as presented.
Motion to adopt.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Number two, approved minutes from the April 10 meeting. And you will find those attached. If that seems to capture the spirit of the meeting, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second. I may be mistaken, but on the approval of the two streets projects, and it probably doesn't matter at all, I thought you made the first motion on page 3. But again, I don't think it really matters. That's just how I remember it.
For which one?
I'm probably wrong.
Bonding or the
street recon?
The street.
The village project bonding?
The top one, you mean, or the 2019? The second.
On page 3, the street reconstruction.
At the top of the page?
To accept the low bidder.
I think I did make that motion.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I did. I went with the bonding.
The bonding? Okay.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, all opposed. Elect committee chairperson.
Well, I nominate Lynn.
We have a slate of officers. I guess I have no way of knowing if she'd be interested in doing that. We could defer it if we want to. We need to do that. Or doesn't matter.
I would go ahead and do it. If she can't, then she can withdraw it.
Okay, we have a nomination of Lynn Green. Any other nominations? Move the nominations be closed. All in favor of Lynn Green to be the chairperson? Oh, a second.
A second. Unless Kurt wants to. We'll let Kurt a second.
Kurt?
All in favor?
I don't get it.
Aye. And then I guess we'll have a motion to, or did we appoint Lynn as the chair?
Nomination.
Given that she's willing to do it?
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, in absentia. Public appearances, doesn't look like we have anybody, so we'll move on to number 5, discussion action. Newland Group Dairy Queen Sanitary Sewer Agreement.
Yeah, the owner of the Dairy Queen property had subdivided the property. They're going to be building a commercial property right just, I guess, west of the Dairy Queen. And
the tennis club, is there a room in there?
Just south of the tennis club.
That's north of the tennis.
Right.
So Dairy Queen, it's closer to the river, right behind the Dairy Queen, towards the river is where they're going.
There was a map provided in the packet. They would like to connect to village sanitary sewer that drains west and into the Piers Interceptor Sewer. There are at the south end of the village and at the north end of the city of the pier, there are a number of properties that drain into each other's sewer system. And in 1969, they put together an agreement to allow for that. And the agreement is being amended to include the new development east of Dairy Queen.
So currently, the purple shows that the people from Court, Andalusia Court,
Andalusia.
All of their waste goes into the DePere system?
Yes, and there is an area off of LeBron, an area in the city of DePere that drains into our system. Smiths and LeBron, there are a few properties there, residential properties that are in the city of DePere that drain into the village's sanitary sewer.
Is there any cost?
No. The agreement was written so that the communities didn't charge one another for that because of whatever reason, because of it was not feasible for the community to put in another sewer system to serve a handful of properties.
Okay.
Back in 1969 when they did that, Alloway was a town.
Yes.
Does that impact this at all now that we are a village?
I think they had they had amended that in this amendment.
In this amendment?
I have a question for Jim. Years ago, we used to have problems with that sanitary. Have you had any lately? So we should address that.
Yeah, we are. You're referring to the sanitary sewer that serves Andalusia Court?
Through the woods, right?
Through the woods, right behind. And it takes four or five guys to clean it because you got to pull the hose, and it's a mess.
We do have a project this year to go in and repair that line. Whether it's
they're not all dead yet.
Whether we remove and replace in its entirety, or if we can get in there and pipe burst, we'll do that.
Okay.
Cool. Anything else?
Do you have any concerns with?
None at all. No.
Okay.
No.
Randy's
that's right. I should mention that the village attorney has reviewed it and he's okay with the agreement.
We're good.
Yeah.
All right. Motion to adopt or approve, which is a recommendation, I assume, to the board.
Yep, I'll make that motion.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
I'm sorry. Can I? There was confusion.
There was a code. There was a code second.
Okay, first, second?
Second. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Discussion action. Purchase a multi-purpose truck chassis.
The village is currently in the process of purchasing a multi-use truck. This multi-use truck would be used for both snow plowing and the hauling of material in the summer. The truck would replace two trucks that we currently own and operate. Jim and Bob have worked on getting quotes from three different providers for the truck chassis and for the truck equipment. I put together a spreadsheet that outlines the cost. In your packets, I included the quotes that go through the specifics of the truck chassis and truck equipment. As mentioned before, it's a multi-use truck. The box on the truck will be 17 feet long, so that it can be used in the summer as well to haul brush, bulk. What else would we haul in there, Jim?
Bales. Bales also. Yeah. Street sweepings. Sturdy tandem axle, so we can use it. Haul sweepings down Outagamie County to get into the landfill. The single axle we have now is very. It sways back and forth because it's on setting a single axle instead of tandem axle. We have uses for it for sure.
The equipment replacement plan had included a cost of $175,000 to replace truck 55. We had gotten quotes one for the truck chassis and for the truck equipment. We have in both cases. The low bid is actually the equipment that we prefer, the chassis that we prefer. The dollar amount is under $200,000, $197,000, $176. It is over what we had estimated for the replacement cost. We feel that we'll be trading in two trucks. The replacement value of one truck is close to selling the two trucks. The replacement value of one of the truck is estimated at about $20,000.
Yeah.
And the other truck at
$10,000-$15,000.
So not $30,000-$35,000.
We're hoping.
Yeah, it's going to be an auction sale or a surplus sale is what we do. So.
Okay.
Ooh, I might have to get in on that.
It's about time.
Old Blue's not running quite so good.
Well, it's run like a top.
There you go.
Could be available. If I could. Never
mind. Are there any major differences between the Peterbilt and Western Star?
I'd let those guys go through those details, the specifics.
Frame-wise, they're comparable. We prefer the Western Star. It seems to be a sturdier frame than the Peterbilt. Everything is pretty much comparable between the three trucks.
The bodywork is basically the only thing different, is mm-hmm. the look of the truck. You have to remember we're hanging 11-foot wing on the side of this,
mm-hmm.
and you need something that's very sturdy, or else you have a sag. And we want to try to avoid that.
Yeah, we currently have one Western Star in the fleet with the 11-foot wing on, and we're happy with the performance of that truck.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Do you just want to go over the equipment?
We've been putting stainless steel on all our recent trucks, the body, the hydraulic system, and that's to prolong the life of it, reduce cost. 11-foot wing, 12-foot plow.
12-foot plow, poly plow, steel wing.
Sander.
Sander will be stainless steel.
Sander, did you say?
Sander, yeah. Salter that hangs off the tailgate spreader. Well, yeah.
So the recommendation then is the Western Star and the equipment from Track Equipment.
I make a motion for that.
Second. Any further discussion, questions, info needed?
Sean, how much did you say we had? 170 in the budget?
175. 175, yeah. And that don't believe that it included the
trade-in
value. Okay. And I had...
So that would get us there?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Cool. We had received another quote today for a Kenworth truck.
Kenworth, yes.
I have that quote here if anybody wants to look at it. It came in at... Just the truck chassis alone came in at $113,000. And I should have handed this out right away, but I had updated the spreadsheet to include the Kenworth truck cost.
Any thoughts that that's worth even talking about?
No.
No.
Okay. I don't, Bob.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right, so we have a motion and a second. Any other questions or concern? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? All right. Moving right along. Number 7, Discussion Action 2019 Street Reconstruction, Inspection, Sloping, etc.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks for coming in late.
Thanks.
So just recently, Public Works Department had sent out an RFP to a handful of consultants, 5 consultants, for the construction, inspection, and staking of this year's street reconstruction projects. We had received a number of proposals, actually 5 in total. We had gotten some with availability to inspect one project, some with the availability to inspect the other, some that couldn't provide construction staking, others could. And I put together a spreadsheet that had identified who could provide what and at what cost. We had formed a selection committee, and we had reviewed the proposals that we had received, and we have selected 2 consultants to complete the construction inspection and construction staking. Robert E. Lee was selected to provide construction inspection for the O2 project. That would be the St. Joseph Street, Martha, and Longview project. And they have been selected to perform the construction staking for both projects, the O1, O2 project. JT Engineering, based on their availability and cost, they were selected for the O1 project. That project consists of Oakwood, Oak Hill, and Summit. The O1 project will begin... It started early in July and will end in October. The O2 project will be starting next week. You may have seen some of the barricades go up on St. Joseph Street, and that work is anticipated to take until the middle of September.
And how do these numbers come in compared to what we budgeted?
Slightly under. Ooh. We had bonded for $185,000 total, and I don't have my calculator, but I can quickly add up. This comes in under what we had.
Just a couple under.
Yeah.
175.
I had estimated $75,000 to inspect each project at $150,000. This is coming in and $35,000 for the staking. So I'll quickly add this up. $176,000, $350. $176,350 is the total.
Did the selection committee use a rubric or a matrix to select them, or was it just like a discussion?
It was a discussion that we had based on what we had budgeted and qualifications.
I'm sorry, what did you say the budget was?
$185,000.
And we've worked with both of those before, right?
We have not yet worked with JT Engineering. Oh. We have worked with them indirectly. JT was the local program managing consultant on the Webster Safe Route to School project, so we've gotten to know somebody there. They had helped us through the sidewalk project. They're working for the DOT.
Okay. All right, any other questions? Well, under budget's always a good thing. It'll fit the schedule. Motion to recommend approval.
So moved.
Kirk says the motion. Second by Rick. Any other questions?
Just going back to JT Engineering, you're confident of their abilities to deliver?
Yeah, we met with them.
My last.
The inspector that they're going to provide has been a college intern at Robert E. Lee for the past 2 years, inspecting street reconstruction projects. He's been with them for 1 year, and last year he was the inspector on a job in Marinette that included utilities and street construction. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
And we'll be available to help. Jeff Pietti will be overseeing both projects.
Okay, moving on to number 8, discussion action, Doty Elementary Safe Routes to School Professional Services Contract. That was that one, page.
Okay. I think in January of this year, the village board had accepted the DOT grant to build the Doty Safe Route to School sidewalk project. Working now with consultant JT Engineering that we had selected about a month or two ago. We had gone through the DOT's process of selecting a consultant for this project. We had set up 3 phone interviews, and the selection was purely based off of qualifications. And now we're in the next step where they're putting together the contract and agreement to put together the project scope and cost. I have included a draft copy of the agreement in your packets. I have reviewed it and I have provided comment. The scope closely matches what was identified by Craig in his application to the DOT. I've been out there. I've walked the project. I've added a couple of items that you don't see in here, but I feel comfortable with the agreement. It is a short turnaround. We need to have this approved on Tuesday night so that we can have it signed, and we need to get it to the DOT so that we can get started with this project.
Thought we weren't going to start construction until 20.
It's not. It's the process that this takes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the construction is scheduled for 2022. Yes.
Hurry up, tweet.
Yeah.
And page 6.
And we pay now, or well, soon, for this phase, right?
Yeah, we do have to pay for the expenses up front, but it is an 80-20 cost sharing grant up to a maximum of $468,424. And we did get money for the design of this project.
So this goes way back to the original City Palace.
Yeah, right.
That was a 400 and something. Okay. Any other questions? And again, it's in the budget figure.
Yeah, we have
anticipated.
Right. The design fees associated with this have been put in our bonding.
All right. Motion to approve.
Make a motion to recommend to approve.
Excellent wording. Rick, on a second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Vote to recommend to the board for approval. Discussion action number 9. WISDOT Surface Transportation Block Grant Act for LIBOL. Or LIBOL, as some natives refer to it.
I'll need a table this item. I haven't had time to work on the grant application, but I was made aware of DOT funding available for the design of LIBOL Street. And they're looking to allocate that money now for the design to get started in 2021 or 2020 or 2021.
So what grant is this for LIBOL?
This would be a Surface Transportation Block Grant, formerly known as STP Urban.
Okay.
And we had submitted...
Is that an 80-20?
That would be an 80-20, yeah.
And do we think that 20% would be less for us than if we were to do it on our own?
Yes, on this particular project, it's a rehabilitation. We'd come in and pulverize the roadway and repave with spot repair to curb and gutter where needed. Would also include the addition of sidewalk where we currently don't have sidewalk along LIBOL Street. There are gaps, and I believe the intent is to have sidewalk on both sides of LIBOL Street. I haven't dug into the details, but I believe it would include, may include improvements, small improvements to our underground infrastructure, mainly storm sewer.
Okay. Any bike lanes in this design? Was there discussion of that?
We're not looking to widen the roadway. We're going to work within the existing footprint between the curb and gutter to come in and rehabilitate the existing roadway as is. So I don't know if that is a mill and overlay or if that's a complete come in and pulverize and pave. There may be sections of the roadway that are reconstructed because of the subgrade, but the intent is to leave the curb and gutter in place.
I recall Craig saying that there was room in the existing roadway for, I thought it was bike lanes in two directions and parking on one side, but that may mean going to 25 miles an hour. I have to get into the minutes, but there is opportunities for bike lanes, I recall.
Because I think it gets a fair amount of bike traffic, given that Webster is terrible for bikes. You know, it's just too much traffic. Although you legally can ride on the sidewalk up there, but still...
That's not much better.
Yeah, it doesn't lend itself when you're going
to go off the curb and you're done.
Yeah.
It would include pavement marking and if there's, I'd look at the regulations, but I think you can have a shared parking and bike lane, but I don't know for sure. But definitely explore that. It's a wider roadway, right? It's 32 feet from there.
Is it the same width throughout, though? It looks, seems as though north of Broadview or north of 172, it's more narrow.
The next couple of weeks, I'll know. I'll be going through the scope of the project, and I'll be putting together the application if you guys give me the okay to do that.
And this is just a recommendation to do the grant, apply the grant.
And, right? And this is just a...
go ahead.
I thought you were looking at holding off on...
Oh, yes, yes, sorry. I need to hold
because
off.
It's got the finish right. Point to it, so
yeah.
I can do it.
So you can go through the application and I can answer your questions, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Do you need a motion to table?
Yes.
Make a motion to table until June.
A second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 The motion is tabled. Discussion report number 10, discussion recycling program annual report to the
So on a yearly basis, we put together an annual report that summarizes the amount of recyclables that we dispose of, how it's collected, the cost to collect and dispose of it. The report also includes the collection of brush and yard waste. The complaints that we received, any tags, warning tags that we've provided residents of the village, the mishandling of recyclables. On a yearly basis, on average, we haul just under 1,200 tons of recyclables to the Brown County transfer station. And that gets hauled down to Outagamie MRF site.
Okay. Do we include how much more it costs us every year to do this?
It is getting expensive to dispose of recyclables.
The cost. Okay.
The cost has increased from $20 a ton to dispose of it to now it's close to $27 a ton.
The tipping in?
The tipping fee, yes. Yep. I was going to point that out. Our budget this year had assumed a $20 per ton tipping fee. And we're going to exceed our budget this year for the disposal of recyclables.
Stop collecting.
Is there any return on investment paper cans glass anymore?
No. We're paying to get rid of it.
I would have thought it would have gone in the other direction over time.
Yeah, the market fell out in China.
China doesn't want it anymore, and they were the biggest consumer of recyclable goods.
So when we haul it to there, does it just get buried with separately, but buried?
No, it gets recycled, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Or it goes floating somewhere.
Yeah. You know, this report also includes what we collect for electronics and appliances down at the farm.
Okay.
I also want to point out that we just recently hired a different provider of the removal of that product, and that's come with an expense. And the reason why we've gone with somebody else, the person that had collected and disposed of that material before, and for whatever reason, had not renewed their e-cycle permit registration to the DNR. And that e-cycle registration requires that the person that disposes of the material has proper insurance and that they're disposing of it in a proper manner. And when we heard one that they didn't have it, we went out and looked for somebody else that did have that registration, and NORSEC did. And for whatever reason, it's a program in place is it's a voluntary program where a resident will drop off a TV or an appliance of some sort, and it they provide a donation in a box. We're finding out that we're coming up short, and we're having to make up that difference.
I'm real shocked there, I suppose.
Didn't we? Weren't we talking about not having that and letting people take it over to Brown County?
Yes, and we will be doing that. We'll be taking that through committee in the fall, but because we had already put out the All About Alloy magazine and had included the service in it, we thought that it would be best that we take care of it this year, and then come time to update that magazine for 2020, we bring this through committee and we eliminate this service. And we and because there are other businesses that collect it, Brown County being one of them, you can bring the material over to the Brown County transfer station on the other side of the river, and they'll take it. I believe there's a small fee attached to it, but there are a lot of options out there. So
makes sense. So that's just discussion, no action needed. Correct.
Great.
Anything else on the recycling? Well, number 11, discussion, brush collection and disposal.
Yeah, I won't take up too much of your time, but this is a result of the continuous improvement that we've been working on. The board allocated some money for NWTC come in and help facilitate. So we had a group of 10 of us have been working on being trained on how to look at processes. And I stress processes because that's typically what it is. You know, people aren't the waste, it's the process that tends to be the waste that's created. So one of the things that we had looked at is how we dispose of brush that's collected on the street. For many years, it was all dumped down at LeBron, and we right, Rick, and we bring in a tub, grind it. Well, we used to grind
first,
it all ourselves.
First we burned it.
Yeah. First we chipped it ourselves, then we were burning it, and then it became, we would create this large pile of wood waste and then bring in tub grinder twice a year, and we would grind it. What, a few years back, the street department started to direct haul all of that to Damon and Jansen, and we jumped it into quarry up on Scrace Hill, 15 miles, I think.
Yeah,
something like 15 miles, somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head.
But and then the parks would bring everything that they were removing on the right of ways and or in the parks, tree removals, etc., take it down to LeBron, and then once, twice a year, they're bringing in a tub grinder, grind it up, get rid of the chips. So this was a great opportunity for this group that just went through this continuous improvement to dissect that process. Which one makes the most sense? How is it more feasible to do it this way versus the other way? And it's interesting because you assign individuals to take on different roles and responsibilities. And one of the exercises was is to go out and lay out how things are functioned at LeBron site. The blue representing the parks where they were coming in and just dumping. And street department is they. Well, I shouldn't say just the blue, but street would also come in and depending on what the material was, would be dropping in different locations and or removing it from where the residents bring in and then have to take it to the back and or haul away. What we were looking at is what is the most efficient methods to do, and it appears that, and we're going to have a good indication after this week, of direct hauling the brush just to, and it's, I mean, it's got to be relatively clean brush. It can't be yard waste thrown into it. Bringing it all onto the site, we'll bring in a tub grinder. They grind the chips. The chips can be utilized for the village residents. It can be utilized in playgrounds. if they're grown properly, they have to meet a certain standard. All of our landscaping within the parks, village-wide, and whatever is not used by us, the individual that comes in to grind it hauls it away to be burned for fuel. So it's a process that eliminates a lot of driving, is what it comes down to, is that travel time and the convenience of being able to drop off on site. One of the other exercises that you have to go through is determining whether or not this is legal. Can we do this? Sean and I had a long conversation with the DNR because we're not looking at creating a compost site. It's strictly a holding site, and as long as we're removing the material within a reasonable amount of time, it's not going to be an issue. So when we're all said and done, there's going to, we've got a little more work to do, or probably quite a bit more work to do, is relay out how this area is defined, maybe create a larger area for the residents. And part of the education of this is, we're going through this right now, as we did the spring cleanup. People are taking their leaves, garden waste, grass, I won't say grass clippings because again, they're not supposed to be throwing grass in, but their yard waste, throwing it into a pile, and then they're throwing their sticks and branches and everything else on it. We cannot do it this method because now we're hauling that back out to Damon and Jansen. So it's defeating the purpose of trying to be more efficient. So granted, it's in our ordinance. It's been advertised for years. Do not co-mingle yard waste with brush.
Except in the spring. Tom Meyer, years ago, when he was getting all those calls, came up with this idea of picking everything in the spring because you can't get through. Look at
that, I don't disagree with you, Rick, but that lies the problem.
Okay.
Is by doing that, when do you stop that? So you put the calendar out saying spring cleanup is, we'll just say April 1 through the end of April, right? Well, we extended it due to the conditions. And people keep throwing it out. We're done. We are done. And they just keep throwing it out. So what do? You keep going back. And you keep going back. And pretty soon, you're back to what you were doing before, is you're just picking everything all the time. And it just doesn't make sense.
I disagree with you a little bit because some people haven't just got their stuff out. And now it's not going to be picked. They're going to take the brush and leave that there.
Nope, the brush is going to be picked up.
That's what I said. The brush is going to be picked up and the leaves are going to stay. You're going to get a lot of calls and a lot of angry people.
We receive calls, so there's no doubt about it. But it's to a point where do you draw the line? Because you got bulk in there, and then you got street work coming up. It just doesn't end.
You're behind. And in years past, you can't predict the weather. The weather really screws you up. I would go to Sue or Tom or even Craig. We need some overtime to get through the village once because it's a mess right now with stuff all over. And people are just going to get angrier.
But when you're spending upwards of, I can't remember what the budget was, but it's not $100,000, it's north of $100,000 a year to keep doing this, that we have opportunities. You have the time of the year that you can do it. You can also have the opportunity to take it to LeBron. Not everyone has that ability. I understand that. But it comes to a point where you have to draw a line in the sand saying, this is the opportunity to do it. We'll pick this up, the brush up, on our normal, and then in the fall you have the opportunity again.
We had, we had extended spring cleanup 1 week because
I understand that, but then we kept getting snow and rain, and people couldn't get in their yards to rake. I mean, I can.
You have to look back at the weather, but we thought we had to help with that.
Yeah,
to help with the raking or whatever they do to get the yard waste to the curb because of the poor weather. We extended it 1 week. We discussed it. as a group, do we make one more trip around the village? But the problem is, we make one more trip.
More comes out.
Here comes more. You know, more comes to the curb after we make that trip.
You won't get as much, and you stop picking green grass. That's, you know.
And we only take thatched grass.
Right.
The dead grass.
But
right.
When, every year you want to cut more and more services.
It's not cutting the service. It's still there.
We do.
I make the difference because you got to get through and pick that stuff up. It's mixed together. You got leaves here, brush here.
If people didn't do the mix, then it's an easier cleanup.
Okay, I'll just shut up.
No, I'm just saying. People wouldn't pull me.
Is there a way to educate better? I know we've tried.
Well,
we got the
weather was the factor. The weather was a big factor.
Oh yeah,
and it's not the people's fault. And it's not your fault.
Well, we talked too that, you know, when we go when we put together the All About Alloway magazine this year, we're gonna move the spring cleanup back a couple weeks.
Back like in February?
Forward. We're gonna move it forward.
I was gonna say.
Not back. We're gonna move it. We're probably gonna move it to middle to end of May.
Yeah.
Because the last couple of years have been. The weather's been poor.
But then what's going to happen, you're going to get a nice early spring, and then you're back to the same scenario. I mean, I did some looking around throughout the state of other communities and how they handle it. This is a schedule. We're sorry if you're not out, you're not out. There's just so many things you can do.
And you have to have a schedule because the next week that is bulk. And we had just a ton of bulk.
Took a week and a half to do the bulk.
The bulk being junk, right? I mean, everything from furniture.
And I don't know if it was the following week, but it was, you know, as soon as we got done with spring, then the spring cleanup, we went right into bulk, and then that carried into this week because there was so much bulk put to the curb.
People are getting the garage up ready so they can use it and throwing all the junk out that was in there.
And then, you know... this week was scheduled for brush. Now we're behind in brush, and we're trying to get caught up with the collection of brush, and that'll probably carry into next week. It's just
brush being branches and twigs and that.
So if you push it back or forward, I would say a few weeks.
Forward, yeah.
Isn't it easier to do it earlier then? If you're going to alter it, let's say we get a super warm February and everyone's out and they're ready. Because then you're not getting on top of the next project or the next service.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to, when we put together the calendar for next year, we'll
have to have the flexibility built in. Mm-hmm. But just going back to the method that we were using to fill a truck, you figure a truck, the cost of the vehicle and the operator is roughly $100 an hour. And then you throw in a couple of them, and because you got one it's roughly a 40 to 50 minute round trip. I mean, you're finding a lot of a time that, and again, it's the process, not the individual, because they have to drive out there, right? So, trying to make it more efficient, maybe we can do some other things. We spend so much time because we're not able to get through because of some of the process, and that's the idea, is to create a process that is more efficient, so then other things can be taken care of.
There's no way to chip it right into the truck.
We used to do that for years, and
it's time consuming.
It's very time consuming. Labor.
And then you got a mingled pile of crap usually, right?
And then you got to pull and fight. You get a lot of
back injuries,
shoulder injuries from pulling and hearing.
Nothing simple.
So that's why it went to automated pickup and just disposal and then bring in a tub.
So when they take it to Snyder Dan or whatever, what do they do with it? Burn it?
No, they use it for
fill.
Fill.
Oh, really?
To fill their quarry. To fill the quarry.
I was impressed with the vacuum, how well it kept up.
And that's what we're hoping to get to, is more of those vacuums. So then you're going to be a lot more efficient. You're going to
zip
through the village so fast.
Yeah, I was impressed with it.
As long as the piles are separate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do, is get that education of separating those piles, because you can't pick them up with a vacuum if there's six.
And I'm sure that a lot of people are clueless.
Not that they want to be.
Can you tag those? Like a stake and a flag, kind of like, you do on the trash cans? Do that?
And we'll come back if someone, you know, they're going through and they find that it's a commingled pile, we're going to have something, why we didn't pick it up. Mm-hmm. You know, separate it, and we'll be back to get it.
And I think that would be, most reasonable people would be acceptable of that, accepting of that.
How about if we create, because we have constant confusion with what's brush, what's this, yard waste, all
this. We're creating some videos and...
How about like a bifold or trifold brochure that talks about this is a picture of brush, this is what it is, this is yard waste, this is what it is, this is this, this is what it is, and send it out to every household?
Well, we've been doing that with Debbie's put up a handful of notices that have covered this topic.
Online.
Online, we
hit 900 people and we're going to 14,000.
And what we'll need to do then in the All About Alloway magazine, then put some pictures in there.
See, and I don't think people read that. So also, that's why I say
we're gonna have to mail out a flyer. Just
that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Get
what's that? How many households are mailing?
5,500.
So you're looking at $2,500 or printing
just the mailing. But maybe that's worth it. We're spending what we're spending, and that would put a dent in it.
I don't disagree with you, Rick. I mean, one of the biggest problems is if you know, you, we're all done, and then we go out and we pick up for one individual because they need, you know, what, for whatever reason we go out and pick up for that one. You know, that word is spread. Why did you do it for this one and not for me? Now you got to go back and do it for this one. And now you're back to doing it all over again.
Why don't we put in the budget an incognito truck?
I went
for those.
I put mine out on Tuesday thinking it was the whole week, but they only picked up on your trash day, which was my Monday for me. And I called and asked, oh, it's out here, would you get it? And he said he'd look at it and came by and said it'd be $300. Yeah, I'll get it. But so I hauled it back in the backyard and piled it on top of my compost until fall.
It's a huge expense.
And I think existing service is still better than most of our neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Velby doesn't pick up at all.
Nothing, huh? They just tell you to get your own trash and all your own crap, huh?
They do a spring and fall cleanup for bulk, and I don't know if they might pick brush once a year.
I know that the city of DePere has drastically cut back on the collection of bulk and brush. Talking to Scott last week.
A lot of
just to two or three times a year. That was it.
Yeah, you know, once you take something away, then it's ugly.
What we're looking at doing is trying to, you know, you look at the road condition of the roads, and you know, if we can do some spot repairs, we need to free up individuals to be able to do the spot repairs too, and that's part of being more efficient.
Well, by creating a more efficient process, A, you should save money, and B, we shouldn't have to cut the services because we're performing them more efficiently.
And throw in that education piece.
Right.
Yeah. However, we do that.
Well, I think that's a big part of it. That's why we're going
for it. Major part.
All right.
And I think that's a very small investment for that.
And if that is done strategically, like in February, with all the dates in a little map of when they're coming for you, then you know what week it is, and then you see exactly what you're doing for those different dates of pickup.
Yeah, that would certainly put a dent in it, but yeah, at least the process is helping.
It would be interesting as you go through this to figure out how much is the village anticipating saving.
Yep, Joy's working on this.
Okay, good.
Cool. Anything else on number 11, brush collection? Mm-hmm. Number 12, discussion, Bethel Baptist Professional Services.
The village has accepted a DNR stormwater grant to build Bethel Baptist Pond. Yep, the one over here. It is a 65.5% and 34.5% cost share on this project, up to a maximum amount of $135,000. McMahon has put together a scope for the project. The plan is to finalize the plans and then to bid this project. Their scope of services would include, the professional services would include the design, and which they had already started for Craig. Bidding and construction services. This project is anticipated to get started end of this year and get finished next year. I'm hopeful that we would have availability to inspect some of this work so that we cut down on this contract. If you flip over to page 2, they've outlined the compensation. $12,500 for the design. That would include topo and design bidded for their construction observation, and then an additional service if in the event that we don't have the availability, but we'll have the availability to go and inspect. So this agenda item is to approve McMahon's professional service agreement and get started on the design of this project.
For the
Bethel Baptist.
Right, but for $500,000?
No.
Just the McMahon agreement part?
Yeah.
So for the, how much is that total?
33 with the additional services.
Total, it would be... $24,500 without the additional services.
You said
$33,000 total.
And you said the grant was a max of max out of pocket of 100 and what?
$135,000.
Do you expect to hit that?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this is the total project over here, right?
That's the annual recycling.
So what happens when we hit our max out of pocket and the project costs?
That's the max reimbursement.
That's the max reimbursement from the DOT. Yeah.
So how much do we think will
the cost to construct the pond and storm sewer is estimated at $390,000.
I thought it was 600.
That's the DOE Safe Out the School project.
Okay. I thought when we were talking about that other project today that you were saying that the Bethel Baptist was going to be 600K.
Yeah, how did I come up with that? I'd used 600. It was 400 to build the pond.
Yeah.
Another 200,000 for the conveyance system.
Oh, okay.
This pond is being built in a existing residential neighborhood with the infrastructure for Mumford already in place to get the water there.
Okay.
So, but this does include the installation of 48-inch storm sewer pipe from the pond to Libel and Irwin.
Okay. And when does construction start?
This fall. I would go right through the winter and finish fall next year.
How much do we have in the budget for it?
I do have that somewhere.
That's part of the bond, too.
Yep. Got that. Maybe I put it in here. We had budgeted $393,540 for the pond and storm sewer construction. And we had included the engineering cost as well. I don't have a total.
Okay, so, but if the project's expected to be 391, right?
Yep.
And we're getting 135 back, our out of pocket's going to be about 256. So it'll come in about $100,000 less than we budgeted.
There were some other services that I had included that weren't included in this. We had done some work up front to get to where we are now that I had added to the bond, engineering expenses. So I'd have to add all this up.
Completion of this, what would this give us percentage-wise in terms of total stormwater ponds that
we're
hoping, planning to do?
We're looking at an expense of roughly $300,000 after you apply the DNR grant, $135,000.
So we're still coming in after you apply.
We had completed a wetland delineation at the cost of $1,800. We need to go out and do a soils investigation to nail down the construction of the pond, whether or not it needs a liner, or what type of liner is needed. I had added to their engineering costs because they always seem to go up a little bit, but not a whole lot.
We came within budget then.
We're
okay. At this point, we're just having a discussion. We don't need an action now, or do we?
No, we don't, because we had already.
Okay, cool.
We'd already approved the DNR grant.
So again, where does this bring us? Anybody know offhand? Total stormwater,
like TMDL and TSS. And
it gets us
PP.
Closer. But where we're at percentage-wise, I don't know. I do have the report. I can bring that item back. I can add that as an agenda item.
Is there any real way to track it?
Yeah.
So we can see?
There's modeling that is done. Yeah.
Okay.
Stormwater.
But not by measurement, just by modeling is how we would calculate what we think we're reducing by.
Oh, yeah. Right? There are models that that are run to determine that, and I
think that's a moving target, right? They continue to.
It is a moving target,
they
right?
Continue to change
the target. The rules continue to get more restrictive. Yeah.
And is the bill that Coles just got passed today or passed unanimously about the selling shares or some crap? Is that going to benefit us?
It could, yes.
There's a bill that they just passed that you can get some credits if a source of normally pollutants, I think. If you can get your capacity up over 120%, in other words, if you do 120% of what you're supposed to do, you can sell those credits to someone else, like a farmer.
So it's like carbon credits.
Yeah,
do extra, and then you can sell them to someone who's not doing as well.
Yeah, and I don't know if that means the people who aren't doing as well don't have to do it because they get a credit, if they're getting money. I think the idea is that we're incentivizing farmers primarily to adopt practices to prevent from runoff into the waterways.
Right. Yeah.
Somehow we're doing that.
We seem to be ahead of a lot of municipalities.
We are.
Through the discussions.
We are.
And given the larger municipality of our north who seems to be struggling with their East River thing, is part of that issue they haven't done? Because I don't know that they've done a lot of this. I mean, I obviously don't live right in the city, so I don't really know, but I haven't seen much.
Is there anyone you can ask?
Yeah.
I don't think the people in the south have done much.
That's what I'm saying. Having those discussions with Craig over the years, that we were ahead of the game.
We are ahead of the game. And it's harder for those larger communities that have, they don't have a lot of space for the implementation of a pond. We
sure.
We have to have room along the East River and in some cases along the Fox River to install a pond. And Craig has been very proactive on taking advantage of DNR grants.
Okay,
and we're
that's cool.
We're not behind.
So it sounds like that whatever just passed would be to our advantage.
Yes, one would hope. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
6:31. Hold my son down.